GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Lots of ground to cover with our friend David Trahan of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. He's dialed in on line three this morning for some community protection order issues, election issues to discuss this morning. George, again, David's on three for GHRT.
Hi, David. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, George. Good morning, Rick.
We had an office pool going with Laura Whitcomb of the Gun Owners of Maine as to when we thought perhaps supporters of a more strict community protection order, a red flag law, might turn in their verbiage to the Secretary of State's office so they could get the clipboards and pens out to polling places in time for November 5th. George, you by default picked Wednesday. That's come and gone. I initially picked Thursday. I wanted to pivot to Friday, the anniversary of the atrocities in Lewiston, and Laura picked Thursday. Have you heard anything, David, about the supporters of a red flag law getting their verbiage into the Secretary of State's office?
Yeah. Actually, I've seen some of the language. The reason I haven't done anything with it is because I'm not sure that'll be the final language, and I don't want to put information out to the public that isn't true, but I think you're all going to lose the pool unless you picked 2025 next year. Last night, Channel 6 did a piece on the tragedy in Lewiston, and I was interviewed for that, and it was, a fair and comprehensive analysis of what happened from the beginning to the end. And at the very end of the segment, I caught one of the reporters said that the Gun Safety Coalition, if the legislature doesn't act this session, then they'll come back with a citizen initiative. Now, I don't know how much stock I put in that, but I did catch that and went, that explains why we haven't seen anything yet. It explains kind of, I think, too, it explains something to me that they feel they may be on weak ground. And the reason they're on weak ground with that is Maine's law is far superior to red flag. And yesterday's presentation by Channel 6 reinforced means yellow flag is being used very effectively, saving lives, and that it is likely far superior to red flag. And I think they're on weak ground, and I expect you won't see any referendum until next year, if at all.
Yeah, they may be reading the tea leaves. The red flag laws, or ERPOs, have to have a lot of legal terms in there. I mean, whatever the language ends up, you're going to talk about petitions, court hearings, temporary removal, due process. There's a lot of things that are going to have to be in this referendum, I think.
Yeah. No, that's right. And the language that I read, it leaves a lot of things undefined. And what is also going to confuse voters is red flag and yellow flag are just names given to extreme risk protection statutes. There's a number of states that have them. Nearly every state is different. Their statute is different because their states are different. And Maine last year amended our law and named it extreme risk protection orders. That is the so-called yellow flag. And now they're going to put forward a referendum to establish an extreme risk protection order. We already have one. And like the rest of the states, it is tailored to fit Maine. And they're going to have a very, very hard time supplanting our existing statute with a statute named the same thing. It's going to confuse people. And even more than that, once you start comparing it to, a state like Massachusetts, it is far superior. Just yesterday, I asked Commissioner Sawchuk for an update on how many times the Maine's extreme risk protection order has been used. It's now at 493. It grows by over one a day.
493 times, let's round it up. Nearly 500 times now, law enforcement in our state, since its inception, have used the community protection order, what some call the yellow flag order, which at least one person said was perhaps cumbersome. But now nearly 500 times communities have successfully used this legislation.
Correct. And ironically, Sagadahoc, who that's a lot, a lot of that talking point came from the people that were involved, and I think a lot of it was to deflect responsibility for not having acted. And at the time that the shooting happened, Sagatt Hawk had not used the so-called yellow flag. And last night in the story, they revealed that since that date in which they criticized it, they've used it 20 times.
So the battle goes on, and I'm judging from what you're saying that you probably have a leg up on this now.
Oh, I think so. I think it's hard to look at the facts. I plan on taking some easels and some large bulletin boards, and I'm going to print on it the 500 times that the Attorney General's office has given a description of the use of this law, and I'm taking it on the road with me, and I'm going to show people that it isn't just the law, it's human beings that are being affected. It's not just potential victims of crimes or potential suicides, it's the people that need to be treated, need to get into the system and get help. Those lives, that 493 times, those lives have been affected in a positive way. They've gotten help. And prior to that law going into effect, they would be back out on the street, wandering, needing help and not getting it. So good luck. I think our community in Maine, not just the gun rights community, people across Maine care. And when they find out how effective this law and who's being saved by it, I think we'll support it wholeheartedly.
Something that you hinted at in previous conversations, by the way, talking with David Trahan, Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, we're looking at red flag versus yellow flag laws in our state. We'll get to dark money and elections in just a moment or two. You had mentioned in the past that there very well could be coming the day that means not Maine, but the U.S. Supreme Court may have to take up what is red flag law and then determine whether or not it's constitutional. The hunch is that the yellow flag law, the community protection order that we have in our state that you had a strong hand in crafting, passes constitutional muster. And when these other states hear from the U.S. Supreme Court that the red flag laws that they have in place do not meet constitutional muster, everyone's going to be looking at Maine for its yellow flag law. Where are we on that?
That's correct. Maine's Supreme Judicial Court took up the issue of Maine's so-called yellow flag law and found it to be constitutional because of its due process standards as well as the mental health component. Those two things do not exist in the so-called red flag law. I can tell you right now that I have all intentions to challenge any red flag law that passes, a traditional red flag law, if it passes in Maine, we will challenge it because we believe it is blatantly unconstitutional, just like we challenged the 72-hour waiting period law. You are not going to steamroll Mainers and not have us step aside and watch.
Well, how many states now? Was it 21? With red flag
law? I believe so. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think what needs to happen is, but a lot of the press has been saying this is how many states have red flag. No, this is how many states have extreme risk protection orders, because every state's different. And the red flag advocates want it to be segregated. They want to say that Maine's law is weaker when in fact it is much stronger, it's better. And see, we're playing political games. And that segues into another subject that I'd like to talk about with you. I sent you, Rick, a link to a Reuters article from 2020.
Yeah, I saw that. And this is how much money is coming into whichever election?
Well, no, it's actually there's two pieces I sent you. I sent you that piece.
Yep.
I'm part of American Promise, which is trying to change the Constitution to limit out-of-state money in elections.
Yes, sir.
And that's connected. But it's also connected to what I'm about to tell you. And I think your listeners will get it when I explain it. The political parties, both of them, have been creating the most massive, detailed database on every American, every voter in our country. And they've been compiling that information now for over a decade. And that information is being held by companies that mine it all the time. They add to it. Every detail of your life as a voter is known by the parties in a database. And our politics have changed now because supply of dark money is being fed into the parties. When I was a kid, I used to watch inspiring speeches by our candidates. Our president, at times of crisis, would give inspiring speeches. That type of leadership is gone, and it's been replaced by candidates who are given a handful of talking points that are crafted using these databases, and then the dark money special interest groups are out there doing attack ads constantly. And those attack ads are based on what they pull from those databases. So if they go to Detroit, the message is different based on the information that they've pulled from their massive databases. They've mined it and said, the people of Detroit will respond best to this message. Well, they do that all over the country. We see it in our ads on TV. Look at the attack ads that we see up in the 2nd District. Representative Terry hasn't even served in Congress, but yet he's going to take your Social Security away. Where do you think that talking point came from? They mined that out of their database. They know that Maine is the oldest state in the nation, and they know that the 2nd District is likely the oldest district in the country, and they're pandering to that older, the fears of the older voters. That's what's going on in our country now, and it's incredibly dangerous because we're creating blocks or factions of voters in which the parties are pandering to, and then they get that group behind them, and together those minorities make up a majority. Well, what happened to the inspiring leaders who spoke to a nation, to the people of a nation, not to a faction? And that's the direction our country's going, and right now, with Citizens United and the ungodly amounts of money pouring in and the ability for these parties to manipulate both through social media, their relationships with companies, the information that we receive. And I think you're seeing the beginning of a backlash. I think these factions are starting to break up now because they feel like they're being played.
I couldn't agree with you more over the tone of the election, no matter which side of the fence you're riding. And this dark money stuff, it's political spending by organizations that are not required in all cases to disclose the donor. This term, it's 501c4 social welfare organizations can get in political activity. No transparency. Dark money comes in the aftermath of Citizens United, which allowed for greater spending by corporations and unions. I'm old enough to be disgusted with what I'm seeing, and most people see these ads, these attack ads. Don't realize those people speaking don't live in Maine. They live somewhere, wherever we're shooting this stuff. I saw one last night. This guy obviously lived somewhere else. I'm not sure where, but it's disgusting.
Yeah. We're becoming an aristocracy, unfortunately, where a handful of very, very wealthy billionaires are pulling the levers at election time. And that is incredibly disturbing. That's the real threat to democracy. If all you'd have to do is 5 minutes of research to find out that money goes to money, and then these billionaires who are getting richer every cycle are funneling more and more money into the system. It's to the point now where I do think we're at threat of losing our democracy, because we can't get good information. Even the candidates themselves running for office are being abused. I know I went to candidate school. I served 12 years in the legislature, and I walked away from candidate school because they were basically telling you, these are your talking points, let us do the rest. And when you're not accountable, when you can hide behind those walls, those C4 walls that you're talking about, George, there's no accountability. You can call a candidate a Nazi. You can lie about a candidate and get away with it because nobody knows who you are, and you're not accountable for that. Our politics is dangerous. I'm seeing families, friends who are not talking to each other because they're so angry. that anger, getting back to these databases, was generated by the political strategists in Washington and hiding behind those same walls. They create these talking points that incite you to anger. And that is incredibly dangerous, because when you get to that point of hating each other because you're a different political party, you've lost sight of how to fix problems. And that's what your government's supposed to be doing. It represents you. These people are elected to represent you. That government is formed to represent you. And when they can't talk to each other in a reasonable way, they can't solve problems. And that's the place we're at right now.
Keep in mind, it's not just the dark money coming in, and it's not just millionaires within the borders of our nation. It's some kid that's working for a foreign government in the basement of his mom's home that's using social media to stoke a fire between neighbors in our backyard. GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.